Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones battling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Pentecostal fire. Stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Yeah, resurrection power, it runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elisha if there's anything that he can't do. Just ask the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden. What happens when God says to move? I feel him moving it now. I feel him doing it now. I feel him doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. Yeah, this is the sound of dry bones rattling. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Gonna start fast. You ready to sing?
Yeah.
Okay, hold the microphone up there. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ain't no glory out the way. When I die, I'm in my mind.
to that home on God's celestial shore.
Addie walked around the walls of Jericho about 15 times up here while Ellie was singing. That's all right. See what, them kids, they keep getting better and better. It's amazing how, they're getting more comfortable and singing a little bit louder, and not only that, but they're starting to express themselves even more. And to me, that song fit Kanan to a T. Just that music in the background and all that stuff, that just fit his personality to a key. And I really enjoy the kids singing. I know everybody does. And I know that our pastor, Preacher Dan, is going to be bragging on him Monday morning at the preacher meets. I hate I can't go to him now because I'm back to work. I may lay out of work one day and go to it. But I know he's going to brag not only on them, but he's going to brag on his whole church because God's doing so many wonderful things right now in our church. I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. 2 Kings chapter 4, if you brought your Bible tonight, 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'll never forget when Dan started inviting me to go to the Monday morning preacher meets, and I wasn't going to do it. And this was back in the summer before school started back. And then I woke up one Monday morning and God said, "You fool, you need to go." I was like, "Okay." So I called Dan and I went. And it's over at Grace Free Will. Is that the name of it? Grace Free Will, yeah. Beautiful church. Meet out there in the little courtyard area where the water fountain's at and things like that. Had a good time talking with other preachers. And I didn't know Krispy Kreme Donuts was involved. So when I found that out, I made a point to make sure I was over there on Monday mornings. But then they'd always go and eat afterwards and just have a good time eating and things like that. And I never will forget this. And if this don't describe Dan Foster to a T, I don't know what will. The first couple times I went with him, he paid for my lunch. See, him and Dave, his brother, usually split a meal or split a plate. And I don't know if Dan will pay for it sometimes or Dave will pay for it sometimes. I'm not sure the thing on that. So for the first couple of weeks or maybe even a month when I went, Dan was taking care of mine. I was like, man, this is really nice. And then all of a sudden one day, I can't remember if it was a Mexican restaurant or Longhorn, I can't remember where it was. Dan looked at me and said, "Son, the honeymoon's over. You're gonna have to pay for your own lunch." So I never will forget that. But it was so funny, and Dave thought it was hilarious. All the preachers thought it was hilarious. But I knew then that our friendship had reached another level when he felt that comfortable that he could say, "Son, the honeymoon's over. You're going to have to pay for your own lunch." So have a good time doing that. And it's great that preachers can get together and be friends. And the reason being, and you know, we have friends in our flock, and that's great, but nobody knows what it's like to be a preacher except preachers. And it's good when preachers can get together and just talk about things and discuss things. And I certainly enjoyed my time doing that and can't wait till school's out so I can start to coming back to it, okay? 2 Kings chapter 4, if you brought your Bibles tonight, 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to do verses 1 through 6. And God's not laid a lot on my heart and on my mind tonight. I'm just going to share these six verses with you. And when God says, "I'm done, I'm done." And I was getting tickled. Tom was sharing a story with me about O.P. Stokes. Now, I never knew who O.P. Stokes was or anything like that. Is it okay if I share that story, Tom? Okay. All right. O.P. Stokes he had somebody's church preaching, right, Tom? You just want to tell the story?
No.
You tell it, it's better. That's funny. I like that. I'm glad that didn't happen to me this morning because it was 12:15 before we got out of here. So, yeah. Tom's wife knew too. Tom's wife said on the phone, "Nick's usually better than that. You usually get out earlier when Nick's preaching." Then Tom's wife proceeded to say, "He's just turning into Dan." So, all right, 2 Kings chapter 4. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead." And I want to stop right there just for a second. We can see here that this woman is a widow, and she is crying out for help. And the more and more I begin to focus on this verse, and the more and more I begin to pray about this verse, we need to pray for our widows and widowers. I can't imagine of the pain that that is. I can't imagine the pain of somebody, your husband going on to heaven, or your wife going on to heaven. And it's great to know that they're in heaven, as long as they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But that don't mean that it's always easy down here for those people that are left behind. And the Bible, I believe it's in the New Testament, when they were getting disciples, one of the main goals of the disciples or the deacons of the church was to take care of the widows and the orphans. And I think, if you look at society today, and this is not going to be a political statement or anything like that, it's just going to be the truth. You know, we send money all around the world. We send money to the Ukraine. We send money to South Africa. We send money over to the Middle East, and that's great. If God's blessed our country enough to where we can help unstable countries financially, that's wonderful and that's great. But I tell you what, sometimes we need to focus on taking care of people at home too. And when I say that, I'm talking about widows, widowers, and I'm talking about orphans as well. Nobody, not a single child, should not go hungry in the United States of America. A single child should not go hungry in the United States of America. And I'll take it a step further and say, nobody should go hungry in the United States of America. Now, we can take it a step further and say people's not getting jobs, and I agree with that 100%. That's not the debate. That's not the argument. That's not the thing. The thing is, people that are out here are hungry. There's no reason and there's no excuse they should be hungry. The government should be helping them out, giving them some sort of meal or something like that. And then it got me to thinking about us as a church and me as an individual and things like that. I hope we always are there to lend a helping hand to those who are hurting. Because I tell you right now, if we're not lending a helping hand to those who are hurting, what are we doing, folks? And I'm saying that to myself too. What are we doing if we're not there to lend a helping hand to those that were hurting? So there is a woman that is hurting right here, and she's crying out to the great prophet Elisha. I'm thankful that when we are hurting and when we need to cry out, we can cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and He hears our cries. Just as Elisha was going to hear this woman's cries right here, I'm thankful that God hears our cries. It says over in the book of Genesis, in the Bible, it says that God heard the cries of the Israelites while they were in Egypt. And He heard their cries for 400 years. Now, why God waited 400 years to deliver them from Egypt? That's God's call. That's not my call. That wasn't the Israelites' call. That wasn't Moses' call or anything like that. But for some reason, God wanted the Israelites to be in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. But He heard their cries and He sent deliverance their way. Bless God tonight. Are you not glad that God heard your cries when you cried out for a master, when you cried out for a Savior? God heard your cries and He sent deliverance for you. How awesome and how great that is. And that's what this woman is getting ready to get right here, this widow woman. She's getting ready to get deliverance. Now, she's already having a very difficult time because her husband is dead. The Bible doesn't say how long he has been dead. But we do know it has had to be for some time because she's had some rent come up due and she's not been able to pay it. It says, "Thy servant," in verse 1, "Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." In other words, she's saying, you know my husband loved God. You know my husband worshiped God. You know that my husband feared God. In other words, my husband was a good man. He was a good husband. And a modern day way to put this is he was a Christian. He served the Lord. "And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." So the creditor has come, and the creditor is going to say, "Hey, I'm going to take your two sons. They're going to be slaves. If you can't pay your debt off, I'm going to take your two sons. They're going to work for me." So this woman is having to deal with the crisis of her husband passing away, but now she's having to deal with the fact that her two sons are getting ready to be taken from her home. I couldn't imagine all the stress, all the worry, all the anxiety that is going through her mind. Thinking, how in the world am I going to get money to this creditor? How in the world am I going to be able to pay this rent? I don't have the finances available to do this. My sons are going to be taken away from me. They're going to be slaves. What am I going to do? Listen, sometimes in life we can't do nothing, but God can do everything. And sometimes in life we get to the place and point in life where we realize that we can't do nothing, but God can do everything. Because when we get to that place and point when we realize that we can't do nothing and God can do everything, we finally get to the place and the point and say, "Hey, you know what? God, I'm just going to have to trust You 100% because You are the only one that's going to be able to handle this situation. I can't do nothing about it." You know, it'd be great if we would do that the first time. If we didn't try to fix it ourselves or... You know, I love to try to fix things myself. It's just part of who I am. I love to try to fix things myself. And then when I find out that I try to fix things myself, I made it about a million times worse than what it was. I don't know if y'all have that same luck or not, but that's some of the luck that I have. But listen, sometimes in life we get so low and we get so desperate that there's nowhere that we can turn and there's nowhere that we can go or anything like that. Well, bless God, there's always somebody we can go to, and that's God. His doors are always open. His phone line is always on. His cell phone is always charged. And you know what? The great thing about calling out to God, you ain't going to get His voicemail. Bless God, you're going to get Him. You're going to get Him. You call me, you might get my voicemail. You text me, I might reply 4 days later. But hello, when you talk to God, God's going to listen to you right then and there. Hallelujah. He might not give you the answer right then, but I'll assure you, He's going to listen to you right then and there. And see the request and see the petition that you had. You know what else I love about God? He don't put you on hold. Don't you hate being put on hold? You'll call the doctor's office or you'll call a company or something like that. And by the time you listen to this recorded person for about 10 minutes, go through all these buttons that you're supposed to press to get to somebody, you finally get to the part that says, all of our clerks are currently busy right now. And then the music starts, the elevator music. Man alive, I hate that elevator music. I can't stand it. God don't put His children on hold when we talk to Him. He might put the answer on hold. We might not get it right then and there, but I can assure you, hallelujah, He's listening to you. He's listening to every word that you're saying. So in verse 2 we get, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? So Elisha says, honey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? What's going on in your life? What can I do to help you? And I love the attitude of Elisha right here. What can I do for you? Man alive. What a great thing for us as Christians that we all have the opportunity to do, to walk up to somebody. We know that they're hurting. Elisha knew that this individual was hurting. Elisha knew what was going on in her life. Listen, if we know that somebody in our church is struggling, one of the greatest things that you can do is pick up the phone and call them, shoot them a text, or walk over after church and talk to them and say, hey brother, hey sister, what can I do for you? It might not seem like a strong act. It might not seem like a whole lot. But sometimes our brothers and sisters just need to know, hey, there's somebody that's going to help me out right there. There's somebody I can go to when life gets hard. There's somebody that I can go to when life's a struggle and things like that. And nothing beats going to God. Nothing beats going to the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be substitutes for God. And we cannot be substitutes for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can be one of God's vessels tonight and help out a brother and sister that is in need. It reminds me, I know Dan's talked to Sandy, and Tom's talked to Sandy, and Les has talked to Sandy, and I've talked to Sandy as well. I know there's several people in the church that have talked to Sandy. But you know what's so great about going to people that's hurting? This is something I found out in the 10 years I've been preaching. I believe Dan would say the same thing. And I believe anybody that goes and talks to people that's hurting or things like that, 10 out of 10 times, when I go to uplift somebody, they actually end up uplifting me. Sandy was in that hospital bed, had some type of contraption on her ankle, looked like something from Frankenstein. I didn't know what it was. Trying to piece her ankle back together and all that stuff, and all she could do was lay in that bed and praise and thank God. Man alive, what a testimony. What a praise item. Anthony praising God this morning for his wife's cancer being gone. I won't forget this, Anthony. We were at Grace Free Will at that individual's funeral. We were going up there to sing, and Anthony walked up to me in line in the back of the line, and Anthony told me, Nick, I know it's already gone. She hadn't even had the scan yet. Hadn't even been to the doctor yet. That's how much the Anthony was trusting God. Now, I'm not saying that to brag on Anthony. I'm saying that to brag on our God tonight. Hallelujah. That Anthony was already praising, and that Anthony was already worshiping God, and that Sandy was laying in a hospital bed praising God, even though she had been in a terrible car accident. I tell you what, that says a whole lot about our church tonight. That says a whole lot about our pastor tonight. That says a whole lot about the people in this church tonight, that we come together, that we rally together, and even in the midst of the most difficult times, we still take time, like we said this morning, to praise and worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, that gave me chills this morning when Anthony shared that testimony. Not because I doubted God, but man, that was just awesome. It was awesome. Verse 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? So Elisha says to this widow woman, what do you got in your house? Is there anything in there that we can use for you to pay rent so your two sons ain't going to become slaves? What can we use that's in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. So Elisha, all I've got's a pot of oil. That's it. Nothing else. I've got some oil. That's the only thing that is in there. Man alive, are you not thankful that we serve a God that can take a little bit and turn a little bit into a whole lot of something? You look at your life tonight, you were just a little bit. But God has taken that little bit and He has turned you into a lot of something tonight. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So God's getting ready to do a miracle right here. You know what I love about God? We call it miracles, and we should call it miracles because it is a miracle. But to God, it's just God being God. Because God can do anything. Now, I'm going to call it a miracle. I love to call it a miracle because I never want to take what God does and undervalue it. So I believe in miracles tonight. I believe in miracles tonight. I believe in people being healed of cancer. I believe people being told that they'd never walk again and they walked. I believe that doctors have told people that they had 6 months to live and they end up living for 6 more years. I believe in miracles tonight, but bless God, to God, it's not a miracle. It's just God being God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad we serve a God that's being God. Hallelujah. Amen. We may see it as a miracle. We may see it as a great work. And bless God it is, because nobody else can do it. But God can do anything tonight. How awesome that that is. So she's got a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. So send your sons out to your neighbor's house and go and get the vessels that are in their home. Now the more and more, and that means vases, jars, whatever you want to call it tonight. And when I was reading this and studying this week, there was something that stood out to me that never stood out to me before when I was reading this. You won't find anywhere in God's holy word right here where these neighbors didn't allow these boys to come in and take some of their vessels. All these neighbors. He doesn't say that the boys had to try to convince the neighbors to give the vessels or anything like that. No, the Bible says in verse 3, then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. These were some good neighbors right here. That they were willing to lend their vessels, their pots, their jars, whatever it was that they would use back then to keep oil in. Not fussing, not fighting and saying, well, you can't take that one, you can't take any of mine or anything like that. No, they were giving their vessels willingly. They were giving their vessels freely. They were this lady's neighbor. They knew everything that she was going through with. Listen, I tell you know what else is wrong in the world today? And it's a very simple thing. There's not a lot of good neighbors anymore. I tell you right now, Dan Foster's got some great neighbors. Mike and KJ, that's some good neighbors. There's some insurance, yeah, they're your neighbors. What insurance company is it that, like a something, state, like a good neighbor? State Farm is there. You know, it should be too, like a good neighbor, God's children is there. Like a good neighbor, we're there for each other. That's very, very important that we be a good neighbor to each other. Not only be a good neighbor to each other, I'll share this with you. I love how God's worked. Brenda was sharing a story with me this morning. She has somebody that lives beside of her house that is of a lifestyle that God's children and that goes against the Word of God. But Brenda talks to this individual. Brenda has sold this individual salsa and things like that. Is that right, Brenda? Pickles, not salsa, pickles. Brenda? When you do pickles, are they sweet, spicy, hot, tangy? What kind of pickles are they? Bread and butter. Bread and butter? I love bread and butter pickles. Hint, hint. Just kidding. All right. But she doesn't. But Brenda's nice to this neighbor. Brenda is being a good neighbor to this person, even though she doesn't go to church. Even though she doesn't follow along with God's Word. Even the lifestyle that this individual is living doesn't go along with God's holy Word. Brenda is still being a good neighbor. So I guess what we're getting at tonight is, don't be a good neighbor to only your neighbors that are good. Be a good neighbor to even those neighbors that you don't think alike. Because I tell you right now, you might be the only Jesus they see. They may never go to church, but they might know, hey, my neighbor over there, he goes to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you know what? He comes over here and he talks to me. She comes over here and she talks to me. He let me borrow his lawnmower. He gave me some tomatoes. I let him borrow my axe. I let him borrow my weed eater. And I know that sounds like tiny stuff. That means a whole lot of nothing, but I tell you right now, that goes a long way. A long way in making connections. As a church, we better be making connections with the community that we're living in, and we are. And the trunk or treat is a way to connect with the community that we're living in and things like that. So these boys went in and got out vegetables. And vegetables. Vessels. All I've got is pickles on my mind now. Would a pickle be considered a vegetable? It's a cucumber? So you would consider a pickle a vegetable? All I can think about now is when you go to them ball games and they got them big jumbo pickles in there for $1. That's all I want. All right. Look what he said at the end of verse 3. Even empty vessels borrow not a few. I love that. Borrow not a few. In other words, Elisha is saying, you better get all the vessels you can because God's getting ready to fill them all up. God hadn't even done anything yet, and Elisha's saying, you better get all you can because God's starting to fill all of them up. Hallelujah. Bless God this morning. I hope when we come out tonight, I don't know where I'm at tonight, but I hope when we come out to God's house that we bring empty bucket after empty bucket after empty bucket so that we can catch every blessing that God has to give us. Verse 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. So when all these vessels get in here, we're just going to shut the doors where nobody can see what's going on or anything like that. Now you might say, why is that so important? Well, it would have been very easy to leave the doors open and make a public announcement in the community and say, hey, come over at this widow's house. God's going to do a great miracle. If you want to see a miracle today, come over here. Get your rocking chair, get your fold-out chair, get your blanket, throw it down. Let's just wait outside this woman's house and see what God is going to do. It would have turned into a promotional event or something like that. Listen, God don't need a big crowd to do a miracle. All God needs is a faithful servant and a faithful heart, somebody praying and somebody talking to Him, somebody trusting in Him. That's all the ingredients of God doing a miracle tonight. Don't get me wrong, I love it when God does a miracle in front of hundreds and thousands of people. If you look at the Red Sea, when He parted the Red Sea, He did that in front of hundreds and thousands, if not of millions of people, between the Israelites and the Egyptian soldiers and things like that. But I tell you right now, God don't need a big stage to do a big miracle. He can do a big miracle in somebody's home. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, some preachers only preach if there's a big stage with a big crowd and a big audience. Some people only want to sing if there's a big stage and a big crowd and a big audience and there's a big buyout, there's a big money. That's the truth. But I'm telling you right now, hallelujah, the same God that can bless the mega church is the same God that can bless this little old country church at Liberty Fellowship Church, bless God. God don't need the stage. God don't even need a stage. He's God, hallelujah. God don't need a promotional event. Why? Because He's God. God don't need an ad in the newspaper. And I love that our church puts ad in the newspapers. That's great. That's a reach out to the community. It gets our church name out there. So I'm not saying I'm anti or that I'm against that. That's not what that means. I don't want you to take it that way. But bless God, God don't need that to work. He's God. Hallelujah. He can do what He wants. So this house is full of empty vessels. Verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt set the door upon thee and upon thy sons. In other words, we're going to do this in private. Everybody's not going to know what's going on or anything like that. We're going to get in here, it's just going to be us, your two sons, and God. Man, I love that. And shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So you're going to take this one pot of oil that you got, and I want you to start filling up all these vessels till they're full. Now that's very important in this story and understanding the miracle that God is getting ready to do. Elisha didn't tell this woman to pour the vessels half full. He didn't tell this woman to pour the vessels a half a cup in them or anything like that. No, fill them up to the brim. Hallelujah. Are you not thankful for the times that God has filled your cup up to the brim? Praise God. And you could just thank Him and praise Him and all of that. My grandfather used to say, and he still says it from time to time, and I've always loved it. God not only filled my cup up to the brim, but He also filled up the saucer that the cup was in too. He does. Thank God for it. In verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So she starts pouring out in all of these vessels. And it came to pass when the vessels were full. Let's stop right there. The vessels were full. They are all full. Not five of them. Not ten of them. And the Bible doesn't say how many vessels are in this widow's house. But if there's 500 vessels in her house, those 500 vessels are full. If there's 200 vessels in her house, those 200 vessels are full. If there's 10 vessels in her house, those 10 vessels are full. They're all full. Hallelujah. You know what tonight? If we leave church hungry, it's our fault. Because God has an all-you-can-eat buffet of blessings. And you know when you go to, and I love buffets, you can tell by looking at me. And when you go to a buffet, you know, that plate just don't float over to that buffet. And that plate starts filling up itself, and then it floats over to your table. If it does, call me. I want to come watch that, okay? But in order for that plate to go to that buffet, bless God, you got to go get that plate. You got to walk to that buffet. You got to take that spoon. You've got to put it in the plate. In other words, the blessing is already out there at the buffet. You just got to go and take part in the blessing. Bless God, if you want to leave church full, the church is full of blessing that God has given, but you got to go and take part in it. Hallelujah. Do you realize, and I'm not pointing people out to put them on a pedestal. I'm giving God credit. But because Anthony shared that, I had no idea about his wife this morning. But because Anthony shared that about his wife this morning being cancer-free, I got to eat off his plate this morning. I got to eat off of his plate. Sandy in the hospital praising God, I got to eat off of her plate. When you share your blessings, we get to eat off each other's plate. Praise God for it. Ain't nobody eating off my plate, though. I ain't sharing. I'm just kidding. I'm talking about physical food. Spiritual food I'll share. You can tell I'm starving. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, verse 6, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. Mom, there's not any more. They're all full. One pot of oil filled every single one of these vessels. And then this last sentence is the home run of all of it. And the oil stayed. The oil stayed. There was oil in that house that never went away. You might think I'm crazy. You might think I'm a fool. I really don't care. But I think if we could go to this widow's house today, I think we'd see that the oil has stayed. I want to tell you right now, when you got saved and you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you got an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that you could get that anointing of the Holy Spirit is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You got anointed. You got a dose of oil. However you want to phrase it tonight, you can phrase it many different ways. But I'm thankful, praise God, that when that anointing came from the Lord Jesus Christ, when we got to know Him as our personal Lord and Savior, the oil has stayed. Amen. The oil has stayed. And when Jesus comes back to gather His church, There's the parable of the 10 virgins and the 10 lamps. And 5 of the lamps, they look great, but they have no oil. And the other 5 lamps, they do have oil in them. So they're able to go and to attend the wedding. Are you thankful, bless God, that your lamp is full of oil tonight? Hallelujah. Because the oil has stayed, bless God. The oil has stayed. That don't mean we don't need a refreshing of it. That don't mean we don't need more of it. God will give us more of it. He'll pour it out on us as much as we want. He'll fill the vessel tonight. But I'm thankful that the oil has stayed tonight. And I'm thankful He'll give us more when we need it to add on to what we've already got. I hope y'all got something from that tonight other than the fact that I'm starved to death. Okay? I hope God has given you a great day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget our services Wednesday night. We are now in the book of Malachi. Very exciting. Dan's doing a great job with that. God's using him in a great way with that. So come out for that. Do not forget Saturday, you parents that's got kids, grandparents that's got kids, infants to fifth grade. We're having a get-together for them over in here in the fellowship hall from 4 to 8. There will be food. There will be movies. There will be arts and crafts. I don't know what else there will be, but there will be a lot going on. Okay, so bring your kids to that. I talked to Lene about it today. And just kids, this ain't counting adults that's helping, just kids, we're up to 13 kids that's showing up over there. Now, that's just infant to fifth grade. That's not all of them. Man, that's awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
That's oil in the vessel.
Yes, it is. That's oil in the vessel. Okay, so bring them out to that. And if you know a kid in the neighborhood that would love that, and you know you're in good relationship with their parents, if you want to bring them, let them have a good time and things like that. It can be an outreach. And you can see something else about these kids getting involved in church and stuff. You can see that fellowship they're getting with one another. Besides Addie. Addie will not share her mic. We're trying to talk through that. But you can see that fellowship they're building together. All right. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Okay. All right. God, we thank You for this night You've given us. We thank You for Your sweet spirit that was here tonight. God, I thank You for Your word and how precious and how wonderful that it is. And God, I pray that I was used in some way, some form or fashion to where You were uplifted, Your Son were uplifted, and Your people were uplifted and blessed tonight, God. God, I thank You for how You've blessed me this week through both of these sermons. And God, I pray that it blessed everybody the way that it has blessed me. God, I pray that You be with everyone here tonight. I pray, God, that You will give them a great week. I pray that Your hand of protection will be around each and every one of them. And God, I pray that when Satan comes around, God, that they just say, "Not today, Satan, in the name of Jesus." And they can go on their way. God, continue to be with those in our church that are sick, that are hurting. Those that are unable to be here, God, that want to be here, God, I pray, God, that You will bless them and You will be with them. God, I pray that You be with our kids' activity Saturday, that they just have a wonderful time over there with their teachers and with each other. And may they know how much God loves them and that they can come together at a church and have a good time in Jesus. All these things we ask in Your Son's name. Amen.